Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm Rayshan Mayer. Thank you for joining us here this morning, where we talk about our critters, our commerce, our companions, and our agriculture. This morning, joining me, we have a special guest, Karen Scott from the Retreat at Beckleysville Manor.
Good morning.
Good morning. Beckleysville and the Retreat is not an overnight place.
No, the Retreat at Beckleysville is a therapeutic riding program. It's actually a 501c3 nonprofit center. It's also part of the Maryland Horse Discovery Center's network.
Those are amazing places.
They are. And the standards to meet that and have that affiliation is pretty stiff. So Mary Shunk is the owner-operator at the Retreat at Beckleysville. I've known Mary over 35 years. As I've been involved in therapeutic riding that long. Mary and I met when Bob Shirley got the 4-H therapeutic riding program going in Westminster, and he spent a lot of time making sure that his volunteers and instructors were well trained. So we traveled to Michigan to Chef Center. We traveled to New York to Winslow Therapeutic Riding. We trained with some of the best people out there to bring that back to the 4-H program where Mary volunteered at that time. And then when she retired, she started operating her center more full-time.
For her full-time job, her corporate job.
Right. Then she was able to expand her program at the Retreat. So she offers lessons to children and adults, all ages, all abilities.
And it's not only for children with special needs. It's also for regular people, normal people, if there's such a thing.
Yes. She has typical riders, and she has riders with some sort of physical or cognitive or emotional or developmental challenge. But Mary is very inclusive. So you will have therapeutic riders and typical riders in the same lesson together because they're working on the same things. They can even show in the same shows together, or they can show in events that are geared directly to them. In fact, Mary was one of the people that started the Maryland Council of Equestrian Therapies to bring together all of the Maryland riding centers, as well as bringing Special Olympics equestrian sports to Maryland.
Special Olympics was where I thought you were going with that one.
Both. She does both. Or she has done both. But she was president of MCET for a long time, and they developed a Maryland Challenged Equestrian Trials that was held the day after the Special Olympics Equestrian. So riders of all abilities, whether they had a cognitive disability or not, would be able to ride and compete.
So lots of thought has gone into this farm and this place and what you all have created.
It's pretty remarkable, and it's just a really good place to be. It's a very positive place. Mary has a core of very dedicated volunteers and is always open to training and mentoring new volunteers. Many of her riders grow up and become volunteers. This happened with my kids. Before I had them, I knew that if I had kids, they would come to Mary to learn to ride and they would learn to volunteer, because there's much more to be gained by helping than by just riding yourself.
Absolutely. You learn more and you give more, and then you are open to receiving more, I think, when you do something like this.
And some great friendships have developed cross abilities with riders that are at Mary's program.
If we're to come to see the Retreat at Beckleysville, what will we see when we come in?
You probably would see the horses out in the various fields and the barns and the house. And then on the other end of the property, she put in a really nice riding ring that's all sand and fenced and has various jumps and different things in it. But it's a really nice sand ring, okay, which probably went in, I would say, within the past 10 years. She always had a ring there, but as she's been able to fundraise and have money come in for special projects, that ring was a special project that was put in.
And that with a 503c status,
yes,
that's possible.
Right.
How do I know what a therapeutic riding area or a therapeutic riding center is versus a regular riding center? Is there any difference? Are there any things that I should be looking for when I go in?
Well, I think that therapeutic riding centers need to be especially cognizant of safety issues. So I would want to make sure that I see kids are wearing proper safety equipment, that they are using helmets, that there are not open-toed shoes, that there is a good ratio of help depending on what the needs of the riders are. So those are things that you can look for.
That's the first one that would cue me in, because if I went in, I think most riding centers, I would hope that most riding centers who are giving children lessons would include include, and even adults, helmets, closed-toed shoes, and that safety piece. But the number of people for the rider?
Well, depending on what the rider's needs are, okay. Some riders need a leader at the horse's head, who's essentially an emergency braking system, because we definitely teach for skills to develop horsemanship skills. So it's normally not just a pony ride, though it may look like that initially. The interaction between the horse's body and the rider's body is very dynamic. So if you have riders who have some physical limitations that impact their mobility, for example, and they're riding bareback on a horse, the horse's motion actually moves their hips and pelvis in a normalized walking pattern.
So
we have had young kids that are not ambulatory develop some of those pathways and become ambulatory because, in part, you know, they're getting physical therapy, they're probably getting occupational therapy, they may get adaptive physical education to work on those things, but the connection that the horse provides is unique because it's a three-dimensional connection and it builds patterns of movement in their bodies that you really can't reproduce in any other way.
So I have more questions than I have answers because of that. Is that because of the contact between the bodies? Does that only happen in bareback or does that happen with saddle?
You can have it happen with a saddle. Usually we'll use an English saddle, which is a little more closer contact than a Western saddle.
Yes.
Although we have had riders with different challenges that need the support of having either like a marathon endurance saddle or a Western saddle, so they have a broader base to sit on. Other riders do well on a bareback pad. If they're in any kind of adapted seating specifically, you want to make sure there are volunteers walking alongside. They need to be aware of the rider's position and know if we need to stop and readjust, or if they need a low level of support or a more intense level of support. And those are things that the instructor shares with those volunteers so they know where their hands should be, what they're looking for, and what the goals are for that rider.
If you have the rider who is in contact with the horse and you are getting ambulatory stimulation, so the movements of the horse are mimicking or causing the rider to have movement in their body that would simulate ambulation, do the neural pathways and neural circuits then become activated? Because there's motion going forward, that 3D model, your horse is going forward as the rider is experiencing that hip and leg motion. Are they building neural pathways?
Yes. It gives the body that experience, which that body can't necessarily produce on its own. So it definitely provides an opening of those pathways. I'm not going to say that every rider that's not ambulatory gets off their horse and walks away, because that would be terribly unrealistic.
Right. And that's not always true.
In some cases, depending on the situation, for some riders, it has definitely benefited their development of ambulation.
I know in reading several books, the Swift books in particular, mm-hmm. she talks about posture and how spine relationships to horses and posture relationship to the horses and how you turn yourself and move yourself and how the horses turn themselves and move themselves is almost a workout within itself to keep your body healthy.
It really is. And she's talking about a typical rider.
Correct.
Somebody who's neurotypical. So it's a very different experience if your body is already not balanced in a larger way or more intense way. It is a workout. Just being there and being upright, there's a lot of sensory integration happening. There's a lot of core workout in just being upright. And that's why you need a trained therapeutic riding instructor who knows what their student needs as far as support. So
that's not just physical support. That's some mental support. That's all kinds of, am I jumping too early?
No, it's being very aware of what that rider needs. So we have had riders who are very fearful initially. And so you want to make sure that the person with them is aware of that fear and is saying the right things and supporting them in the right way. We have riders with communication challenges. So we have some visual communication boards available to help make clear what we're saying and give them an opportunity to say what they want to say as well. So if a rider doesn't speak and we're teaching them to use the walk-on and woe and things like that, you can have those symbols on a board so that they can express that. Okay. And then you say, oh, you said woe, look, your horse is stopping. So the volunteers and the instructor work very closely together. Some riders can tolerate a longer amount of time in the saddle. Like you said, it's quite a workout.
It is
just,
quite a workout.
Just for your core, if you're not usually independently sitting or you're not usually independently walking, sitting on the horse is a lot of work.
Keeping that balance. I think one of the things that I had to learn when I went back and started riding again was, as an older person, my center of balance is not where it used to be when I was younger, and I wasn't the same shape that I was when I was younger. That point of reference does change, and it really helped with my balance and position. I learned that I needed to go see a chiropractor because I kept throwing my horse out. My horse was compensating for my body, and I learned so much about what I was doing by what my horse was experiencing, because I need to take care of him.
Yeah, the horses are the real heroes. And again, you want somebody who's well-trained in charge of a program like that to match the horse and rider. We have riders who need a horse that's smooth and longer strided, and you may have a rider that needs a horse that's shorter strided. You need a horse that's balanced, so they need to be ridden regularly by a skilled rider to keep them in shape. As you said, you can throw your horse off. So when we have riders who are unbalanced, and then you have a volunteer on each side of them adding support, they're also impacting the horse. So Mary has some true saints. They didn't all arrive like that.
The people or the horses?
The horses.
Okay.
Mary's very good at taking a horse that has kind of been left out there and turning it into the world's best. She just has a way.
Very nice.
We just call it Mary's magic. It works with dogs, cats, horses, and people.
When we come back, let's talk about what it really looks to have a riding lesson that is typical and an atypical riding lesson and compare those two.
Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.
Welcome back to Raising Connections. This morning we're talking with Karen Scott from the retreat at Beckleysville. So we've talked a lot about balance, and I want to give our listeners a visual description of what it looks like to have a regular, typical lesson and an atypical lesson.
Well, it looks pretty much the same. You just have more people in the ring. If you have riders who need support, either a handler at the horse's head to support their signals to the horse, if they're not clear on their starts and stops, then you want to make sure for safety purposes that there's someone at the head should they need that. You need somebody on either side of some riders because of physical challenges or even sensory challenges that somebody can't see or hear well, and you need somebody there that's giving them those cues. So you have more people in the ring, but Mary will have her non-disabled and disabled riders in the ring together at times because they may be working on the same skills, and she's very good at delineating who needs what. So this rider may be learning to stand up in 2-point to go over rails on the ground while another rider is trotting over cross poles.
And so, 2-point means your weight's in your stirrup, your high knee's lifted off of the saddle, and you're leaning a bit forward.
Right. Sort of a tripod position.
That's a lot of skill. That's a lot of strength.
That's a lot of strength, and it builds strength. So you may have a rider who only tolerates that for a short time, and then they develop those skills and they can go around the ring. And it's a big ring. So
yes.
Sometimes we just cut it in half because it's hard to be heard at both ends. So the lessons are pretty much the same. Even for typical riders, Mary's going to adapt what she's doing to meet their needs and to teach them what they need to know. Make sure they're paired with a horse that's right for them. It takes time to become a skilled volunteer. Mary has a core of volunteers who've been with her for many, many, many years. And she has also raised some volunteers who were riders in either regular lessons or therapeutic lessons who developed the skills to be very, very helpful. She raises her own volunteers, and she has that core that's been with her for a long time.
A lot of trust going back and forth there to make everyone, the horse, the riders, the volunteers, take that deep breath and kind of relax and go with the flow.
Horses are the best.
How did you come to be involved with this program?
Well, years and years ago, and I'm not going to say how many, because then you'll all know how old I am. But when I was in grad school, Bob Shirley was starting the 4-H therapeutic program in Westminster, and he did a demonstration ride at Carroll County Special Olympics on the field at Westminster High School. If you can imagine them letting horses on the field.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a thing. So I was there. I was in grad school getting a master's in special education, and I was there photographing at Special Olympics. And that was the first time I heard that voice on the loudspeaker. And if anybody knows Mr. Bob, they know that voice.
They know that voice.
So I literally ran down the hill and introduced myself. And so that was the beginning for me. So that's been 30 some years ago. And Mary at that time was working full time and also volunteered at therapeutic riding with the 4-H program. So we went to many trainings together and we provided many trainings together.
Is there still a 4-H therapeutic riding program?
There is.
Do you have a connection with them or have they separated to this point?
Mary still volunteers and does the Monday class at the 4-H program. And she is considered the head instructor for that program because she is definitely the most experienced and most knowledgeable and has the highest level of certification with the national organization. But her priority has to be the lessons she's doing at her farm because
that pays the bills.
That pays the bills or it tries to. And it's not like she charges the going rate. Neither does the 4-H program. It's a deal. It's a fraction of what you typically pay.
When you say the organization, you mean NARA.
Well, their new name is PATH.
So PATH stands for?
Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship.
And they offer a certification.
They do. They offer a certification program for individual instructors as well as for programs per se. A lot of programs seek their certification in order to purchase insurance through PATH. Neither the 4-H program nor Mary need them for that purpose. And so I don't think either of those programs is still technically affiliated with PATH, but the instructors are all required to keep their certification current. So all of the 4-H therapeutic riding instructors, myself included, even though I'm not instructing on a daily basis, I keep my therapeutic riding certification current. And then Mary's is current as well. In fact, we all just got together on President's Day to get our first aid CPR training done, which is part of that certification. Nice. So that's every 2 years on President's Day, we all get together and do CPR first aid.
When I think of 4-H, and we've done a lot of interviews with 4-H kids in the county surrounding Maryland here, it's 10 years. You start off in your first year. You can join at any time. There's notebooks. There's things that you need to do. There's skill levels that you build. There's meetings that you attend. There's shows that you do, be it livestock shows, be it riding shows. Does the therapeutic program mirror that program?
The 4-H therapeutic riding in Carroll County that meets at the Ag Center is a member of the Ag Center Board of Directors. It is not operated in the same way as another club is operated. It is not only open to 4-H members. It was originally started with Hank Shirley's Hoofbeat 4-H Club and Bob's master's thesis on starting a therapeutic riding program back in 1978, I believe, is when started that.
I did not realize it had gone so long.
Yes. So that was his master's thesis, and Hank's club kind of generated the first volunteers for that program. And it met at the Ag Center. And I got involved in grad school. And then when I got a job teaching in Carroll County, I would teach and then go out to the rings and teach 3 hours of therapeutic riding lessons or volunteer for 3 hours until I had my instructor work done.
Even though it's called the 4-H Therapeutic Riding Club, it is not a club in the traditional sense of the 4-H group.
Yes, it's called a program, not a club.
It's a program. And so it's open to folks of all ages.
Yes.
Your background is special education.
Correct.
You have a psychology degree and special education.
Yes.
And that puts you in a very good position to work with folks with challenges, as well as the everyday folks who can be very challenging.
They're the most challenging.
I would believe that. What should people look for when credentials? So we briefly talked about PATH and the credentials. If someone wants to become involved in therapeutic riding, if someone wants to open a therapeutic center, if someone wants to do therapeutic work, what advice would you give give them to start their careers?
I think the first thing they really need to do is find a center that has a really good reputation and go volunteer. I think you can't really start unless you really know what that's supposed to look like. I know a lot of centers have popped up because people have farms and horses and a neighbor with a disability who starts riding there, and then they declare themselves a therapeutic riding center. And some of those people have great hearts, and some of them actually have really good skills. But I think it's worth the time to go get the training, to understand the population, to work with an established center to see what it should look like and what it's all about. I've visited a lot of different centers over the years as part of training, and I've seen some things that made me go, really? That looks like an exceptionally bad idea. You have to have some common sense, and you have to go work with an established center as a volunteer. Even if you're an outstanding rider, you're an outstanding instructor, you need to go see what the differences are, because sometimes there's things you're not aware of. For example, all of our riders have a physician's referral to make sure that there are no contraindications, because we do not want to cause harm. And there are a number of disabilities with hidden issues that you might not know about or you might not connect with, and you don't realize you're endangering that person above and beyond the typical we're riding horses danger because of a physical challenge.
We talked about the benefits of riding and the movements with the bareback and the different saddles. Is it true that you can actually enhance, so you should be working with an occupational or physical therapist?
We consult with OTs and PTs as part of our program because we are not OTs and PTs, and we do not do hippotherapy. Hippotherapy is done by a specially certified physical therapist. So we do not claim to do
what
hippotherapy.
Is hippotherapy? To my mind, I'm picturing a hippopotamus in my mind. I don't think that's what it is.
Well, hippo is horse. Hippotherapy has to be done by a physical therapist who's certified in hippotherapy, which is using the horse as a tool to provide the therapy services that they're doing. We talked many years ago about, did we want to go in that direction? Did we want to talk about hiring people? Did we want to talk about billing insurance, for example? And we decided that we were never out of riders and we didn't need to add to. There are programs that do that really well. That is their focus. That is not our focus. Our focus is recreational, therapeutic riding, competition. We have riders who really want to compete, and we have riders who have competed nationally and internationally in therapeutic riding events, because that's their focus.
So therapeutic riding versus hippotherapy.
Therapeutic riding is done by a trained instructor with volunteers, and the focus is on horsemanship, recreation, sport. Hippotherapy is done by a certified physical therapist, and the focus is on therapy for that person's body using the horse. The horse is therapeutic no matter what, because of the connection, because of the way the body impacts the human body, because the way the horse impacts people emotionally. We have riders who will talk to their horse. We have horses who are very empathetic, very sensible. They sense what's going on with kids sometimes, but that's different. Actual hippotherapy is a very specific field.
A therapeutic riding center is at a recreational level, but there are benefits.
Oh, definitely.
Just as there are to swimming, as there are to gymnastics, as there are to anything that's going to help with balance of muscles. And then you can go into the more medical levels.
Right.
There's a very interesting dichotomy there.
And because Mary's program runs year-round, weather permitting and stuff, there's also a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of kinship. There's a lot of connections made. You get all your riders together for a bonfire night or for a movie night or for a Memorial Day picnic special event. We've had some volunteer work events.
What have you gotten out of this personally? Why do you keep volunteering?
Gosh, I don't even know where to start with that.
That's a hard one.
It is a hard one.
Because
I mean, now it's just a lifestyle. I mean, you have to realize it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. But oftentimes you see with volunteer organizations, people come in, they get very excited, the excitement wanes, then it fizzles off as lifestyles change.
And we're running into a lot of that now. I've got to tell you, it's a real challenge right now with finding volunteers with that kind of stick-to-itiveness.
It's tough.
People are not interested in a long-term commitment.
Sometimes it's hard as a volunteer to keep a long-term commitment because you have life changes and skill changes.
Right.
But what's kept you at it for so long?
Probably the relationships we've built. I mean, if you're going to hang out with your besties, you might as well do it while you're
helping somebody else out.
Yeah. But I mean, even my kids who grew up through 4-H and grew up helping at the 4-H program and at Mary's program, when they have time, that's where they go.
Nice.
You know, they'll go there for events. They'll go there to help with a show. Lindsay's a photographer. She'll go take all the pictures at the benefit shows, and she manages the website for the retreat. So that's where you go because that's where your heart is.
I appreciate you coming and joining us and talking about all of your excitement there.
It's easy to talk about the things you enjoy.
Yeah. Yes. Where's your website?
The website is retreatatbeckleysville.org.
Okay. That's where we can find the events.
Yes.
So if we want to come do the trail challenge or we want to be part of the shows, we can find the events there.
Those will all be posted there.
And those are fundraisers for Retreat at Beckleysville.
Yes. The shows, you have to put out all the work, of course, but you're using all volunteers. So there is some financial gain to doing those shows. It does help out with the therapeutic lessons at the retreat.
Hay and straw and sawdust and all that has to
money.
Be paid for. Yes.
It does.
If we have need of a therapeutic riding center, we find you through the same avenues?
Yes. Definitely.
Thank you, Karen, for coming and joining us. And what is the website again?
It is retreatatbeckleysville.org.
I appreciate all you've listening and spending your morning with us, enjoying your cup of coffee. Have a good one, and we will see you next time on Raising Connections.
This program is a production of Raising Connections Media Company, hosted and produced by Rashan Mayer and edited and mixed by Robin Temple. For more information about our programs, visit raisingconnections.com.